We're going to continue our looking at the book of Psalms, at the ways that they are prayers and songs for life. And we're going to look at Psalm 136 today, toward the end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 136, where it talks about His love endures forever. And y'all are all looking at me because I'm not controlling the screen. Everybody in the back's looking at me. Are you going to control the screen or not? That threw me off that we weren't doing the music. All right, let me get this running. All right, so this idea of that we see in Psalm chapter 136, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, His love endures forever. That is a refrain that you find many times in the Old Testament. And one of those places is when the chronicler retells the story of the monarchy, the Chronicles, the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, that was written after the people had returned from exile and they were looking back on their history that was probably about 100 or more years in the past at that point. And when they retell the story in 1st Chronicles chapter 16, you have the story of David. And David, it says, appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And a little later in that same chapter, it says, that day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. When you're reading through the book of Psalms, you'll notice that some of the Psalms are attributed to Asaph or to his associates, as it puts it there. And so this is going back to the time of David. And David, it's interesting, when David says, here's what I want you guys to do, and then David breaks into a song, or we have this poem. And in the poem is one of the first times we see this phrase, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. That's what the Levites were supposed to do day and night, to proclaim this idea. Psalm 136 picks up on this idea. It takes this statement that we find here with David. It takes it, it develops it, it looks at how has God been at work in the history of His people. And so we're going to look at Psalm 136 today and consider the passage. As we read this passage, we're going to read it the way that most people think that it was used in the temple. I'm going to read the first part of each of these verses, and you'll notice in your Bible, every single verse ends with a statement. We're going to use the NIV. It's going to be on the screen, but His love endures forever. And I want everybody to say that when we get to those parts of the passage. Let's practice one time. You ready? His love endures forever. All right, let's read Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever, and gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever, an inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our lowly estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. This psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving about how God's love never fails, never ends. We're going to look at the different parts of that statement, his love endures forever, and see how it relates to this psalm. So the first thing is his, or God. The first three verses open with praise to God. And then the last verse closes with a praise to God. Four times it gives thanks to God and to God alone. There's this emphasis about how great God is. We've talked about that first verse is found several times in the Old Testament. We looked at how David is said to have ordered his men to use it as he was setting them to be the singers and those that led in the worship before the ark. Verses 2 and 3 and verse 26 also have God worshiped. Verse 1 uses the covenant name of God. You'll notice Lord is in all capital letters. It is Yahweh, the covenant name of God given to his people. And it says that he is good. The other three times that it praises God, it uses these superlatives to tell you just how good God is. He's the God of gods. That there is no God above him. He's over all the gods. He is the Lord of lords. There is no earthly ruler above him. And then it ends by telling us he is the God of heaven. That he is over all of creation. In case you didn't catch it from the beginning, that he's over the gods, he's over the rulers here. He's over everything. There's this emphasis about who God is. Love. The Hebrew word that we translate here is love, and perhaps in your translation that you're holding, it may have said mercy, or it may have said loving kindness, because this Hebrew word is notoriously difficult to translate. It doesn't really fit exactly with any of our English words. And so you'll find it in different translations, translated differently, but the idea is sometimes it's translated love, or loving kindness, or mercy, or steadfastness, sometimes strength. The idea of this word, and the Hebrew word is chesed. You have to sound like you're coughing something up if you say it. But it's this idea of steadfast love, a love that is committed and is not going to give up. That's why it's connected to the covenant name of God. God made a covenant with his people. And God won't back out on it. Even when we back out on him, he is the covenant God, and his steadfast love is what is being praised all through this passage. So the idea of his being love, verse 4, if you look at verse 4, it says, to him who alone does great wonders. And that's the introduction to what the rest of the psalm is about, is talking about the great wonders that God has done. And each one of those lines that comes after is one of those great wonders. God is a God of great wonders. The psalm is not written to thank God for each of those wonders. The way the psalm is written, it is that when we see this wonder, when we see that wonder, when we see the son of the wonder, we understand who God is. He is the God of steadfast love. He loves us, and he doesn't give up on us. And that's what you see all through those stories. There is this story of how he orders creation, how he rescues and redeems his people, how he is faithful to his promises. He is the God of steadfast love, and we understand who he is by what he does. The third thing that we see in this passage, beginning in verse 5, you have these great foundational stories referenced. In a way, much of what happens in the rest of the hymn is giving you a summary of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. You have it talk about the creation of the world. You have it talk about the history of Israel, how they had been slaves but were released, set free by their Lord, how they went through the wilderness, how they came to the land and were conquered it so that it became their inheritance. There's this emphasis about how God created the world and how God created Israel. The chesed that we see here is God's power acting for good. God's power acting for good, especially for the Israelites. I mean, we can look at some of these things and we're like, we want to talk about how good God is because he destroyed a whole army or he destroyed these kings. Sometimes we look at it and we say, oh, I don't know. But from the Israelite perspective, because God had been with them, he was good. They wouldn't have had anything without him. And so they thank him. He is the one that brings order out of chaos. That's the creation story. The chaos that destroys, the chaos that tears up our life. He is a God of order. And there's also the emphasis that he is the God of redemption from the forces that bind us and keep us from being the full humans that he wants us to be. Psalm 136 is the story of love, of steadfast love, of chesed. This love that is everlasting, that endures, and that it overcomes. And then fourth, forever. There's an interesting thing that happens at the end of the psalm. You get to verse 43, and for the first time, it's not talking about them and their past, even if it was part of our past. It's not talking about the past anymore. It suddenly says, us. Us. Verse 23 says, he remembered us in our lowly estate. It's shifting from the ancient past to the present. The history, that past, is supposed to become our own. It's supposed to become part of who we are. God's steadfast love in the past means in the present, he has good for us. He loves us and is steadfast. And tomorrow, we can trust that God has a purpose for us. We also benefit from this exact same love that we read about all through the Old Testament. Verse 23 specifically says, he remembered us in our low estate. Literally, you could translate that, our depressed condition. When we were at our rock bottom, he remembered us. Most likely, the psalm, the way we have it today in its complete form, was after the exile. And it's talking about that event of the exile. When they thought God had abandoned them. When they were in Babylon and all seemed lost. Even then, his steadfast love endured forever, and he remembered them in that low condition. Verse 24, and freed us from our enemies. Again, the confession of the post-exilic community. Not only did God remember them in Babylon, but he raised up a king, Cyrus, who conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus looked at the people and said, you can go home if you want. And many of them returned home, freed from their enemies. But what you see is that they were thankful for what God had done for them. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask y'all to join into this story. Doesn't have to be long, but I want us to share what we're thankful for. How has God shown his steadfast love to us? We're going to talk about that in a little bit, so be thinking about that. Because this story, they wrote it, and they were writing about what was going on at their time. But the New Testament gives us more things to be thankful for. The history of the church gives us more, and things God is doing right here, right now, is because that same steadfast love endures forever. So we have hope in this steadfast love that it will get us through the darkest of times. You remember at the beginning of the sermon, I talked about that David is said to have used this statement that I've forgotten, which really said, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Since Chronicles was written after the exile, I mean, David may not have said it quite that way. That may have been the post-exilic statements read back into David. So what I'm about to show you may have been the first time it actually had been said. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, right after the Babylonians had come and destroyed the nation, Jeremiah says in chapter 33, verse 10, this is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it's a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. So what you have here, there's even more. This is what the Lord Almighty says in this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. So even at the very lowest point in their history, what gave them hope was knowing that his steadfast love endures forever. so that when they got into the exile, they could trust in that. And when he'd liberated them and sent them back, they could write this psalm in the way that we have it now, where they are thanking God that even in their darkest days, his steadfast love was with them. And finally, when you get to verse 25, there is this, once again, kind of change in what the psalmist is focused on. All through the psalm, he's been talking about the wonderful acts of God, and often they are wonders. They are miraculous. They are God parting the sea or creating the moon and the sun. But you get to verse 25 and there's this shift. It says, he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. He gives food. And in the Hebrew, the word is lechem, which is like Bethlehem. If you know what the name of Bethlehem is, the house of bread. It really is saying he gives them their bread. He gives all creatures bread, food, what they need to survive. There's a shift from thanking God for the big things to thanking God for everything. Every food, every breath, it is all from him because his love endures forever. It's interesting, verse 25. He gives bread to every creature. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. Jesus, when he was teaching us, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, taught them a prayer that said, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus' mind was so saturated in the Psalms that he was referencing the closing of this psalm, Psalm 136, as he taught us how we should pray. So in all things, in all ways, we should give thanks. We're going to ask you right now to bow your head. We're going to have the instruments play for a little bit. And as your heads are bowed, I want you to think about what you're thankful for. Because in a little bit, after the music's played for a second, we're going to have some microphones. And we're going to ask you to share, how is God, what are you thankful for? How has God shown his steadfast love to you? It doesn't have to be long. Look how short these statements were. That's all it needs to be. But we want to thank God that he is active even today in our lives. Let's pray.